Is it possible we're headed for gasoline at $1 a gallon? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Stocks are way down this morning. In early trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was down about 370 points, a little over 2%. Some of the stock market's weakness today can be traced to consumers in America being more careful, parsing today's retail sales figures. Once you take out very strong car and truck sales, December's tally looks weak, with a shift toward spending on restaurants and online and less on clothing and in real stores. That headline figure for retail sales was down just a tenth percent, but with those December figures in, we can now tell you that 2015 was a year not for spending, but really for saving. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial.
The weakest sales growth since 2009, we all remember 09. And the good news is 2009, there was actually a hefty minus. We're not in minus territory by any means. But the big mystery in economics this year remains, which is why, with this huge drop in gas prices, are we not seeing sales pick up in other areas?
I'm all for prudence. I'm all for saving for the future. In fact, that's what policymakers would like. But maybe it's the people are worried about, let's say, suddenly having to pay a big health care bill.
Well, I think that's probably a big part of it. When you see savings increase like this at a time when confidence is high, they're definitely saving for something. Think about what the big health insurance companies did this year to get young, healthy people to sign up is to reduce the upfront costs. And the way they do that is by boosting deductibles and reducing coverage. For people like me who are a little older and actually do consume health care, it means our out-of-pocket cost has gone up and gone up quite a bit.
And before we go, do you see crude oil prices below $30 a barrel as we speak, down 4.5% on the day?
Three of the big five Wall Street banks are now calling for $20 crude this year. That could happen this month.
And if you're in the oil industry, this is a kind of Armageddon. If you're paying for gas at the pump, let's remind ourselves, it's good news.
That's right. We could actually see $1 gasoline again. But right now, it is a lot cheaper. As a result, inflation is a lot lower, which maybe will induce the Fed to slow their rate of tightening.
Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, thank you.
Thank you, David.
There's news today. The Chinese appliance company Haier will buy General Electric's appliance division for $5.4 billion. An earlier plan for Electrolux of Sweden to buy GE washers and dryers, etc., fell through amid antitrust concerns. So what do we have? Volvo Cars, Chinese, Smithfield Meat, Chinese, and this week GE Appliances, which is one of three big overseas acquisitions by firms in China. Sean Ryan is managing director of China Market Research Group in Shanghai.
Chinese companies are looking to diversify their revenue streams. So they're looking to the United States, where job creation has remained relatively strong. The second reason is they don't want to grow slowly and organically like the Japanese did in the 1980s. Instead, they want to grow fast. And the only way really to grow fast is to buy American brands.
So Haier, where have you seen that name? Maybe the little fridge that you schlepped up into the dorm room. The El Nino weather pattern is bringing much-needed rain to thirsty California, but the drought's not over, and homeowners are still ripping out their water-hungry lawns. All this has led to some unfortunate horticultural choices. Reporter Sarah Gardner toured the good, bad, and the ugly of some Los Angeles lawns with two people who know their brickle bush from their beech burr.
Landscape designer Marilee Kuhlman and her friend, horticulturalist Lily Singer, both grew up in the San Fernando Valley.
For sure.
Yeah, they're pre-Valley girl, so they've lived through a few droughts before. But they say this one has really made green lawns, like, uncool.
We have never had so much interest in doing the right thing.
But the right thing doesn't always follow good intentions. Take this quiet street in West Los Angeles. Kuhlman lived here a few years back and even landscaped some of the yards.
We have native iris over there. We have native yarrow right here.
But like much of Los Angeles now, the street is a patchwork of front yard experimentation. Some folks appear to have simply stopped watering. Kuhlman winces.
We need every square foot in Los Angeles to sequester carbon.
Dry yards may save water, but they're bad for the environment, says Lily Singer. They don't suck up CO2 or feed all those tiny soil critters.
Letting it go bone dry exacerbates the problem in the sense that when you go in to do work, you've got compacted dry soil, and if it's clay, it's really hard to dig.
And don't get Kuhlman started on fake grass, which just makes everything hotter and uglier, in her opinion.
It's like polyester pants to me, you know, without belt loops.
Hi.
Down the street a ways, Singer spies a little patch of wispy Mexican feather grass. Barely needs water, very pretty, very popular. It's also totally invasive.
It's not a neighborly plant. It goes into everybody's garden, whether you want it or not.
Invasive plants, fake turf, bone-dry soil. What other mad yard experiments are Los Angeles homeowners conducting? Longtime resident Lee Curran says a few neighbors went the cheap and easy route, a lawn of crushed white rock with a smattering of plants.
Well, I just think it's kind of unattractive.
Not only that, but Singer says by the time El Nino gets done with that gravelscape...
In this area, generally, it's clayey soil, and once it gets saturated, the water's just going to sheet off and run into the street.
We live in a Mediterranean climate, not a desert, Singer scolds. Oh, and one last thing. In a concrete jungle like Los Angeles, a good front yard...
It isn't just about saving water. It needs to be pretty, too.
After all, this is the city of appearances. In Los Angeles, I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And some people try to expand their Netflix choices by electronically faking that they're watching in a foreign country. Different shows and movies are available depending on the country because of licensing deals. But there's news today. Netflix is cracking down on using what are called virtual private networks in a bid to snuff out this little maneuver. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.